Greetings, everybody. Welcome to episode 115. I just finished editing this episode and decided to add this little section before we get going. Two corrections and an update. One, when I was talking about the Taça de Portugal, I think I said August the 22nd was the final. Obviously, it's May the 22nd. I must have been thinking ahead to my summer vacation. And when I was doing my predictions, I mentioned that I was predicting Chaves would win this weekend. But they're actually playing Académica, not Covilha. Doesn't matter. Either way, I would predict them to beat any of those teams. So just a correction that I've got Chaves beating Académica in my prediction section. And one update, spoke quite a bit in the second half of this episode regarding Braga and the future of Braga, since there's talk that Carlos Carvalhal may not come back. We've seen various people being linked with the job. And just wanted to update that Carlos Carvalhal, he's actually gotten some reports in England for possibly being considered for Burnley. Burnley right now is in the relegation area of the Premier League. They may be dropping down, although they still hope to stay up. But not a bad opportunity for him, whether or not they wind up playing in the Premier League or if they drop down. Carlos Carvalhal really enjoyed his time in England. Talks about it fondly, so I wouldn't be surprised. But just an update that I think, you know, from all accounts, it looks like Carvalhal may be leaving Braga after these four regular season matches left in the Liga. And I'll tell you what, I think it would be a great idea if he went to Burnley, if in fact that story is true. Anyway, let's get going. Episode 115. Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 115, congratulations to Tondela and Porto. They will be playing in the Taça de Portugal final in the Jamor on Sunday, August the 22nd, the usual time of 17 hours, 15 minutes. First off, really good that it's to see that the competition will be back in the Jamor after spending the last few years kind of moving around in different locations. The last 2 years, for instance, it's been played in Coimbra, but this year it's going to be back in the Jamor. And Tondela is really the big story here. 89-year-old club going to their first cup final. It's just a great story for Tondela. And Tondela's fighting for two things right now. One, they've got the Taça de Portugal final, which if they win, means they will automatically go to the Europa group stage next September. They won't have to play any preliminaries. And two, Tondela is also in a situation where right now they're in the relegation zone. They're in 17th place, and they've got four matches left to try to avoid the drop or to try to maybe get into 16th place and maybe get into the playoff against the third place team from the second division. But Tondela is a great story. Small club that up until I think about 6 years ago was mostly in the second and third division. Vitor Pineda, the Benfica great player, was the one that managed them up a little bit. And over the years, they've had different managers. And they're having a great year in the Liga, but they did manage to, in Portugal's second biggest competition, to make it to the final. So they still have two big objectives left, winning the Taça de Portugal and also, as well, playing to avoid relegation. They will be playing in the Super Cup, because obviously the winner of the Super Cup plays the winner of the Liga. The winner of the Taça plays the winner of the Liga. And right now, Tondela will likely be the team in the Taça. And then, of course, we have to see what happens in the Liga. Porto could pretty much win it all on Monday if they win and Sporting lose. If that happens, then that sets up as well a repeat in early August of a Porto-Tondela Super Cup. But that's still a long ways away. But for now, it was a very good result for Tondela. Mafra actually scored the first goal against Tondela. Mafra also then right after had a penalty kick, but that was saved by Tondela goalkeeper Nayasi, who had, by the way, a great match. Moffitt also had about four or five opportunities to score. They even hit the post. But at the end of the day, Tundela advanced past Mafra, and Porto advances past Sporting. Tony loves to come off the bench and score those quick goals like he did in the Europa League. And as a result, we'll have Porto and Tundela. And one thing to mention for all the immigrants, because I know this is always a big issue. So I believe TVI in Portugal is the one broadcasting this game. It's either TVI or SIC. Next year, RTP gets the rights. So that means that RTP International next year will be showing various Taça de Portugal matches, including the final. And, obviously a lot of people can get the Portuguese stations. Most people, I know, like in Massachusetts, in Toronto, I've heard of California, New Jersey, people do get RTP International. It's just an easier channel to get. So next year we'll be able to watch it, starting with the Super Cup, but not the case this year. But at least some good news that RTP will have the rights for next season, so we could all watch that. Whereas I think in a lot of us, we don't even get to watch it outside of Portugal, unless you're doing the Lotto. Big week this week, just a quick review. Obviously, there were two big stories this week. One was, of course, last weekend's big win by Porto over Portimonense, 7-0 in the Dragão. A major crowd at the Dragão came out to watch them score seven goals. But to be honest, if you watch the match, after the fourth or fifth goal, it got pretty sad. Portimonense did not field their best lineup. They had some players on who were available. They had some players that were playing, including one player, I think, who hadn't played any minutes this year in the Liga. A lot of criticism has been thrown at Paulo Sergio. You know, how do you go to one of the big threes, including the team that's trying to win the title, and you don't play your best lineup? And that's resulted in a lot of, in what else, things in the newspapers, back and forth. Sporting has had something to say. Benfica had something to say. Sergio Conceição the other day defended Paulo Sergio. Portimonense came out in the press about, you know, basically defending their position. One of their executives said that, I thought it was interesting, that had the lineup they fielded got a point, then all those players' values would have gone up like crazy, and then people would have seen it as a very good decision. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a good decision, and I think Portimonense should have known if they were not going to be fielding their best lineup against the best scoring team in the league going into last weekend. They should have realized that things could have gotten ugly. So regardless of whether you like Porto or not, whether or not you're not happy with this result because you're obviously a Sporting fan and you really needed Porto to draw points, I think it was all set in stone to be a major problem the minute that lineup by Portimonense comes out. And Portimonense, look, they have a different objective. This weekend they're playing Moreirense. Their objective is to basically stay in the first division. They're in 12th place, but if they can get basically another win, that should seal them and keep them up in the first division for another season. That's what it's about for a club like Portimonense. The number one goal every year, even though you want to try to get a European spot, the number one goal is to try to get, to stay up, to try to get, the magic number tends to be 35 points a lot of times for clubs. That's their objective, and apparently they did save some players because they're playing Moreirense this weekend. Moreirense, 16th place. They've won two in a row, Moreirense, with Sapinto. Maybe they're starting to turn it around. So Portimonense is all thinking about themselves. But again, the decision really created a lot of controversy. And then the other controversy we had this week, this is not the first time I've talked about this on this podcast. I'm not going to get into whether or not the suspensions are fair or not for whatever money was fined and for however long they're being suspended. But, if you remember back in December, I think it was before the Taça de Portugal second leg, I think Conceição and JJ were both suspended from incidents and comments made going back to last spring. And that decision came down a few days before that Taça de Portugal match in the Dragão. And I remember saying, why does it take that long? And plus, and this is the thing I don't understand sometimes, do you not think if you make a decision like that the week of a big match, do you think people are just going to accept it and not complain? Like, the timing was very strange. And then here we have it happen again, from incidences regarding a Pep of Porto going back to the week 22, round 22 match back in February between Porto and Sporting in the Dragão. And, if you remember, I talked about it, the melee after the game and the way, you know, everybody saw a Friday night classico that turned into utter chaos at the end. And, you know, I talked about how, you know, that was 2 months ago, actually a little bit more than 2 months ago. And then that decision comes down this week before the second leg of the Taça de Portugal between Sporting and Porto. We're the same two teams that were playing back in February. And I don't sit here to complain about the punishment. It's just the timing. And regardless of your colors, whether you support Sporting, whether you support Porto, whether you support Benfica, Braga, Guimarães, Atlético dos Arcos, Tondela, whatever it may be, somebody has to realize that when they decide to make these decisions for the punishments, and I'm repeating what I said in December, you know, back when JJ and Conceição were suspended leading up to the Taça de Portugal, that the timing just doesn't look good. And whether or not someone is sitting there saying, well, this is just the way it is, you have to appreciate the timing and the culture in Portugal and realizing how people are going to take that, especially when the decision in December was because of something that happened 5-6 months ago, and now you have a decision that happened 2 months ago, or a little bit over 2 months ago. So that doesn't even make sense about one, why it takes longer than the other. I've always said that I like the Liga. I think they get a lot of criticism about the referees, but that's with the Federation Disciplinary Council, and I believe they're the ones that run the referees. But I think the Liga does a nice job. You know, I think the scheduling problem, it used to be we would find out the schedule for a certain week was, you know, usually like if you remember in the old days up to 4 or 5 years ago, we used to find out who was going to play like 10 days before. Now they give it to you 4 to 5 weeks in advance. I like what they did with the Taça of the Liga. The Federation, one of the best federations in the world with the marketing they do and the way that, you know, watching the Portuguese national TV is must-see TV. There's a lot of good people there. But when it comes to punishment and disciplinary council and all the controversies with that, there's just a big problem. And it's almost like either no one's paying attention to the timing of the announcements, or there's just something about it doesn't make sense. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to throw more conspiracy on top of what a lot of people think is already a conspiracy, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that a better job needs to be done. First off, I don't understand if you have all the video. Remember, all these incidents took place on the pitch. They've got the stewards apparently were throwing something at the Sporting players. You got video of that. You got to be able to have video. And if they're trying to say that Pep did something, well, then just show the video. You know, show the video to Porto. You don't necessarily need to do it in public. Show it behind the scenes. Do a Zoom. We all know what Zoom is, you know. And just have one of these meetings and say, this is our decision. And let me explain to you how we got to the decision. You know, the NHL, the National Hockey League, for those, you know, outside of North America, they announce a lot of times decisions on reviews. And they tweeted it out and the decision happens right away. Do that with the clubs, maybe not, you know, in terms of the public, but do that with the clubs. Announce it to the clubs, put them on a Zoom and explain the decision. Clubs aren't entitled to comment at that time, but at least they see before it gets announced. And my point is if there's all this evidence against Pep, then just show it to Porto so they see it. But now you've got Pep taking all these individuals to court, and that's within his right to do that. It's just, let's be honest with you, it's just really very ugly. And this Liga deserves a lot better. And again, for as much respect I have for the Liga and the Federation, why this cannot be figured out, why it takes 2 months, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It just opens up to a lot of questions. And again, that's what we had. Instead of a great second leg talking about Sporting Porto, the days leading up to it, especially when the day of the match, Pep got his injunction so he could play at night, it was dominated by a lot of that news. It wasn't dominated about the players. It was dominated about all the stuff that people talk about off the pitch. And I just think that's, you know, very important. Big win last week for Benfica going to, you know, Alvalade. It's been a great week for Benfica. I know, you know, some people, you know, were playing down the Liverpool result 3-3. But look, I think when you go to Anfield and you score 3 goals, that's pretty darn good. Whichever way you think about it, that's pretty darn good. And that's a very big result for Benfica. And then they come home, and of course they come to Lisbon, and then they defeat Sporting and pretty much end Sporting's hopes of winning back-to-back Liga titles. And Verissimo, is he going to stay? You know, there's this new manager, which as of the time I'm talking with this podcast, hasn't been announced yet. But Verissimo, I think, is trying to show something as a manager. I talked a few episodes ago. I wasn't very impressed. Let's give it to the guy, man. He's finally starting to, turn it around. He's putting together good results. Although a lot of people don't like him, but you can't argue with the fact that all 21 matches that he has managed for Benfica, Benfica has scored. They're scoring sometimes 2 to 3 goals a game. The problem is that it's happening too late. This is all happening too late. And because it's happening too late, it obviously means he's not going to continue to be manager. He's probably not going to stay with Benfica. It's probably time for him to continue to manage a first division club. Maybe he goes elsewhere in Europe. Turkey, anybody in Turkey paying attention? Maybe he goes to Greece, which is where a lot of managers go to. The Middle East, always looking for opportunities. Hell, Brazil lately has been going after Portuguese managers. Or does he stay in Portugal? I mean, Braga looks like they might be looking for a new manager. I'll talk about that later. Guimarães usually changes managers a lot from year to year. Maybe that'd be a good position for him to go. We'll see, but a lot of credit to Verissimo. I thought it was his week. Big, big results. I was watching him the other day in the press conference, and he certainly knows that his future is very good, and he'll get another opportunity elsewhere. And before I go into reviewing week 30 last week, big day on Friday, right around the time that I'll be dropping this episode. And, of course, that is the UEFA Youth League Final Four taking place in Nyon, Switzerland. Benfica will be taking on Juventus. And Atletico and Salzburg are going to be playing in the other match. Those two winners then will advance on Monday to play for the UEFA Youth League. We, of course, have a very good history in this. Last Portuguese team to win, if I recall, was Porto. And look at that generation of players. Fabio Silva, Fabio Vieira, Vitinha. I believe Diego Costa was the goalkeeper on that team. So Benfica's turn now. And can they bring, you know, which is really all that we have left in Europe this year among Portuguese clubs. Can they bring home the title? And they're not going to open up. It's not an easy one against Juventus, but at this stage, nothing is really, really easy. Going back to last week, of course, obviously the big win was Benfica over Sporting, but a few other matches really stood out. First off, Marítimo. I thought that was a draw. I did not see Boavista. 15 draws this season. They've won a few matches in a row, and they go to Madeira. And they lose 4-0. What a big result for Vasco Seabra and Marítimo. I think they had been on a streak of like 5 home matches without a win. What a turnaround win that is for Marítimo. Marítimo now all the way up to 7th place. Again, that's Marítimo's type of deal. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th place is usually where they finish in the Liga. And they're kind of repeating that. We also saw Moreirense win their second match in a row, defeating Tundela, which dropped Tundela into the relegation zone. Moreirense now, can they turn it around? They're in 16th place. I spoke a few weeks ago about how it wasn't working with Ricardo Sapinto. Well, ever since I talked about that, it's been 2 wins in a row. And as a result, Sapinto has them in a position in big match this weekend. I'll talk about Moreirense, Portimonense. We saw Guimarães beat up on Passos de Ferreira. That was a big result, 4-0. We saw Arouca and Santa Clara, 1-1. Familia Con, Gil Vicente again drops points. That's like 4 or 5 in a row now. And what's dangerous, by the way, about Gil Vicente is they had 5th place wrapped up. But now, look at it. You're starting to hear those footsteps. You got Guimarães only 5 points behind them, looking to try to get into 5th place, which, by the way, gets you into the Europa League conference preliminaries next year. But Guimarães really making a big run for it. There was some controversy last week with Ricardo Quaresima, and he wasn't on the matchday squad, and there was a little bit of frustration. But that's what happens when you're sort of in the twilight of your career. You know, even though he's a name and he's helped sell tickets, you know, that was the decision that Pepa, made. We also saw Estoril and Braga play to a scoreless draw on Monday night. And then we saw Bissau. They won again at home. They defeated Vizela and Bissau. Still a lot of work to do, but they're at the bottom with 24 points. Tundela with 25. Moreirense with 26. And then you've got Arouca with 27. 4 matches left. 12 points to play. Bissau doing everything they can to try to get out of the basement. I know a lot of you don't like Bissau because of the name Billanenses, and I say Bissau out of respect for Billanenses, but, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to live true to what I say on this podcast. You know, I like their colors. I like their logo. Yeah, I sort of feel sorry for them, but they are really trying to make an effort to stay in the first division. I'm going to talk about this more during the summer, whether or not they eventually – will they even consider changing their name? I'm going to – you know, Lisbon FC, since they're going to be playing in Lisbon area, why not? There might have been somebody many years ago with that name, but, you know, Lisbon FC, why not? You know, Lisbon, you can't say anything else. I would say Lisbon or FC Lisbon. There you go. For the president of BSAD. So we'll see if that happens. Let's move along now to week 31. Again, four matches left, 12 points to play for. Everything gets going on Friday with Vizela and Arouca. And then, of course, on Saturday, the first match and a very good match between two teams trying to stay up, and that's Portimonense at home against Moreirense. Portimonense is going to look to respond to the ugly 7-0 loss last week. Moreirense has won two in a row. They're doing everything they can to try to get the hell out of the basement. So right off the bat, you get a good match. Santa Clara continues to be one of the best teams in this league in terms of what's been going on the last 3 months. They haven't lost at home in the last 5 months. And we have a bit of an island derby. Santa Clara Marítimo. So Santa Clara with a nice win last week. Marítimo with a big win over Boavista. They're both going to play the island derby, even though they're pretty far from each other. So that's a very, very big result, this weekend. By the way, I wonder, maybe someone could hit me up or I'll Google it after I'm done with this, is I wonder if Santa Clara, is there a direct flight from Funchal to Ponta Delgada? Or does Madeira, Marítimo, have to go to the mainland and then fly to Santa Clara? I've always been curious about that because I've never been to Madeira, and I've never been to Santa Clara. Those are two places in Portugal that I haven't been to, and it'd be easier to do one from the other if there was a connection between both of them. Benfica will be playing on Saturday. There's nothing left for Benfica to play for other than the players playing to impress Roger Schmidt, other than Verissimo playing for really what will be his next job. And like I said, he's going to have opportunities. And then we have Gil Vicente again. They have not won anything in their last four matches, and they've got Vitória Guimarães on their back. They'll be at home to Passos de Ferreira, which we'll be looking to make up after their disappointing loss last week. And then on Sunday, only two matches, by the way, on Sunday. We've got Estoril at home to BSAD. Can BSAD make it, another 3 points, continuing in their battle? Estoril, pretty much comfortable. They're in 10th place. They don't have to, I don't think at this point they need to worry. They're going to be in okay, so they're going to stay up. And then you have in the evening at night, and that is you have Tundela at home against Vitória Guimarães. And again, Tundela, they celebrated, but now it's back to work to play Vitória de Guimarães. They need points. They're trying to avoid it. It'd be disappointing if they were relegated and they won the Taça de Portugal and they had to go to Europe playing a second division team. As a second division team, and would they do that with all the money that's spent going to Europe? I'd be curious. By the way, there has been a second division team in Portugal that won the Taça de Portugal and went to play in, at the time it was called the UEFA Cup, and that was Leixões, did it about over 20 years ago, and Carlos Carvalhal was a young manager at the time, and he led them to the UEFA Cup, and they even won, I think, a preliminary round in the UEFA Cup, if I recall correctly, so they did okay. And then on Monday, that's really the big day next week. You essentially have Braga Porto playing first, and then you've got Boavista Sporting. If Porto wins at Braga, which, by the way, I don't think is going to be easy, then everyone's going to wait to see if Sporting drops points. By my math, it's basically Porto needs 4 points. If they win, then it's down to 1 point. And then basically, if Sporting drop points against Boavista, then that's it. They could start celebrating in the Aliados, you know, the square there in the Porto that I've been to many, many times. That'll be it. But obviously, if Porto drop points and Sporting win, then there's a little bit, and that's all really it is a little bit of hope for Porto. So Monday night could potentially be the celebration for Porto if things go their way. Last year, if you remember, Sporting won the Liga on a Tuesday night. I remember that well. I went to the sporting club in Newark to go see some of these celebrations. I got a chance to walk around. I wonder how many fans, if they do win on Monday, are going to celebrate on a Monday night coming from work. I know in Newark, I don't think they have a club, but they do have a group of people that have some beautiful sports cars. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. That last year, the last time they won, I remember they went down Ferry Street honking the horns. I think it was like four or five really nice sports cars that also tend to be in the Day of Portugal parade with these really cool Porto logos on them. That'll be how I guess Porto celebrates in Newark. But we'll see who gets to celebrate. But right now, Porto is in pole position to win. But here we go this weekend as well. Again, we'll see what happens. The best match of the weekend for me, I think, is, in my opinion, well, there's two matches that I like. The one is obviously Braga-Porto. Obviously, Braga has been on good form, even though they had the hangover from the Europa law, getting eliminated from Europa, losing to the Rangers, and then going to Estoril and drawing nil-nil, even though a bunch of young players got the chance to play in that match for Braga. But Braga-Porto, for me, is the best match because it's really a best match anytime they play, regardless of the circumstances. Porto, again, 58 in a row. And they're going to be tested, I think, on Monday night for this. The other match that I really like this weekend is Santa Clara Marítimo. Santa Clara hasn't lost at home in about 5 months. Marítimo has been a very solid team, finally winning at home. But they've been very good overall this season. So I think it's a very, very good match on Saturday if you're trying to watch one of the smaller teams play. Second division report, Rio Ave. Looking to get back to the first division after a one-year absence. Big win last week. They beat Benfica B. Rio Ave in first place with 60 points. Gazepia in second place with 59. And Chaves in the playoff position of third with 57. And then you got Feirense from the Feira with 52 and Benfica B with 51. Obviously, Benfica B is eligible if they could win the second division, but they're 9 points away, so it's not going to happen. So it's essentially a four-team race for top two or whoever will finish third of those four teams to go into the playoff. Rio Ave and Casapia in great shape, but Chaves, with 12 points left to play for, is still in the hunt, and I think that's the big match. I don't see Feirense with 52 points. I mean, they're only 5 points away from third place, but they really need a disappointing result by Chaves this weekend, and they need to win to try to give them hope that maybe they have a chance at third place. But I don't know. I don't think 7-8 points from the second and first place team. I just don't see that happening. To me, this weekend, the best match is either Casapia Estrela Amadora, and that's going to be taking place on Friday. Or another good match is Trofense Varzim. Trofense lost last week. They are now in the relegation zone. They now have a new manager named Sergio Machado, who's basically managed some of the lower level teams like Rio Tinto, I think was one of the teams, Esmeriz. So he's going to have a shot here with four matches left to try to keep them to avoid relegation. But in my opinion, those are probably the two best matches. Chaves this weekend is playing Académica. You probably know the story already. Academic was relegated. Not a surprise. Sergio Conceição, who has some time with Academic, I even put on his social media how sad it was and how much he felt sorry for them. But a big club, Academica. This is not something to laugh at. This is a big club from a big city with a big stadium. And now they're going to go to the third division, and they need some serious resetting. But very, very disappointing. Varzim last week got a good result. They are now in 16th place. They are out of the relegation zone. Remember, I talked about them last week. Said a lot of nice things about them because they hadn't lost in six matches. And then they lost last week to Penafiel 4-2. But last weekend, they did win, and they're out of the relegation zone. But they still got some work to do this weekend. And Mafra, of course, being eliminated from the Taça de Portugal by Tondela. They'll be at home hosting Rio Ave. This is a great opportunity for Rio Ave because they're going to play a team like Mafra who, you know, they're going to be staying in the second division next year. They don't got to worry about relegation. But how motivated are those players going to be? So that works in Rio Ave's favor because Rio Ave right now is looking to get another 3 points and continue to solidify first place. So it works out well that they're playing a team that might be coming off a hangover. So everything gets going on Friday, Casa Pia, Estrela Amadora, Chaves, Academica. And then we've got essentially six matches on Saturday. FC Porto B is at home to Vila Franquense. Benfica B is at home to Académico de Viseu. And then everything wraps up on Monday with Trofense and their new manager playing Varzim in a battle between teams in the 16th and 17th place. So that is certainly a anti-relegation battle match, no doubt about it. My picks, no surprise, John. Call me John, 2-2 John. Last week I predicted Porto would beat Portimonense. Obviously they did. I predicted Marítimo and Boavista would draw. And of course the big surprise was Marítimo beating Boavista 4-0. I predicted Sporting and Benfica would draw. And I really felt that was going to be the result. But Sport, of course, we know Benfica with the big, big win. I think, by the way, between Liverpool and Sporting and the results, probably Benfica's best week in a few years when you take into account the entire week. Definitely, in my opinion, the best week for them. And then I also predicted that Rio Ave would beat Benfica B, and they did. This week, excuse me, I'm going to pick five matches. So I'm going to pick five. My goal is to try to get above 60%. I'm at 58%, 70 correct, 52 incorrect. And I'm predicting Santa Clara will beat Marítimo. I'm predicting that Benfica will beat Famalicão. I'm predicting Braga and Porto will draw. I'm predicting Sporting will defeat Boavista. And in the second division, I'm predicting Chaves will beat Covilha. And those are your five. So Santa Clara, Benfica, Sporting, and Chaves to win. And I'm predicting that Braga and Porto to draw. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. This is my Fast and Furious section where I'm just going to touch base on some other news regarding Portuguese players and the Liga from this past week. But before I go on, I just want to say thank you again for listening. My numbers continue to grow. It's one of my favorite things I do every day when I check the analytics. And looking forward to this summer when I'll have some more personal time to try to do some new things. I still get people who come to me and talk to me about people that have been interviewed in the past. Pedro Santos, Marcos Santos. I've had people from all over, and looking forward to continue to build this podcast. So I just want to say thank you. And if you haven't had a chance from 2 weeks ago, a lot of Benfica talk with Cristiano Oliveira at Twitter, 10CO10. Give it a listen. Still very relevant to today, especially with Roger Schmidt about to be hired. Well, that's what they say, but I think this is like the second or third week that we haven't heard anything yet. But moving along in my Fast and Furious section, number one, Braga making big news this week. Number one, the newspapers reported that Braga was looking, Salvador was eyeing Pirlo to become a Braga manager. You know, a lot of times when you read the newspapers, you see a lot of things that, quite honestly, you don't really believe is ever going to even come close to happening. Sometimes I think players use Portuguese clubs like Cavani did with Benfica just to put themselves in a better position to get more attention with other clubs. But Pirlo is one of the greatest names in Italian football. He managed Juventus. And I would think that somebody like him at this stage in his career would have an opportunity to probably stay in Europe with a bigger club. Hell, he was even mentioned, if you remember at one time last year, he was even mentioned with Benfica. So the point is I don't really believe much in it. Carlos Carvalhal has done a great job. I was very surprised that as soon as after the elimination by Europa, that Carlos Carvalhal was already being mentioned in the press that he was going to be on his way out. Maybe it's mutual. I don't know. But he's had a very good 2 years at Braga, and he probably deserves to manage a bigger club. Be curious to see, you know, does he have a chance? Maybe, you know, he's already managed Sporting during a time in his career where he was probably a lot of different manager than he is now. He's much more mature. He's managed in England. He was in Turkey. I think he's a better now, and, you know, it's like what they say, you know, you get better as you age, especially in the case of knowledge. And I'm surprised to see that he would think of leaving. But, you know, who would be the next manager? Don't be surprised if it's Pepa from Vitória de Guimarães. Don't be surprised if you hear anything about Verissimo. Don't be surprised if, Braga go after Sozer Conceição's assistant, Bruno. As we discussed two episodes ago here with Cristiano Ronaldo, if Conceição does leave, I think JJ is going to Porto. JJ, by the way, showed on his Instagram account this week he was having lunch with his staff. So, you know, they're talking about his next move. But I have to tell you, I really believe that if Conceição leaves, JJ will be the next manager. And the assistant that's there, a gentleman named Bruno, who's basically has never lost in the 10 managers that he's managed for Porto whenever Conceição's been suspended or not available, I think he would be another option as well. And then the question is what other Portuguese managers are out there? There's some managers like that would be very good, but, you know, who wants to manage Portugal's fourth biggest club? I don't know, but those would be some of the names. Braga also made other news. Their goalkeeper, Mateus, who I think is a great goalkeeper, he renewed until 2027 with a 25 million release clause. Marco Silva, 4 matches to go, and they've already clinched promotion to the Premier League, obviously the richest and most popular league in the world. So he's going to go back. You know, he was obviously already in the Premier League, and now he's going to go back, and he takes Fulham. Doing with Nuno Espírito Santo did many years ago with Wolves. Obviously, now they go from, you know, the Championship to playing with the Sharks, City, you know, Liverpool. It gets a lot more difficult, obviously, in the Premier League. But there was a lot of celebrating. And it wasn't just Marco Silva. Portuguese Fabio Carvalho, who looks like he's heading to Liverpool, and Ivan Cavaleiro is another Portuguese player that's there. So they've done pretty well. So congratulations to Marco Silva. When I think about Marco Silva, I think of the former Bruno Carvalho, the former president of Sporting, wrote his second book. And there were some stories in there about Marco Silva, which did not impress me about him. But, you know, again, as you get older, you're a different person. And Marco Silva is doing some great things with Fulham. So congratulations to him. Another big thing, 2 managers in South America are doing well that are Portuguese. Renato Paiva, the former Benfica B manager before Verissimo. Not a great start with the team that he's managing in Ecuador. You probably remember him. He actually, Renato Paiva was actually linked at one time with one of the LA teams in Major League Soccer. And I think also Atlanta United. But he is apparently not doing as well, or at least they're not off to a great start. Pedro Caixinha, there's another Portuguese manager that I don't remember what clubs he managed in Portugal, but it wasn't certainly any of the big clubs. But he seems to manage. He's with the Rangers, and then he's been in Mexico, and he's been all over the place, and now he's in Argentina, and he's not all. I think he won the other day, but generally they're not off to a great start. You got all the Portuguese managers that are in Brazil. Paulo Sousa, last I heard, not off to a great start. What an amazing thing that would be if Paulo Sousa continues to struggle, and then Poland qualifies for the World Cup. I think they're playing their games in June. And his team that he led to the World Cup qualifiers is going to be going to the World Cup without him. Obviously, he made his choice, of course. But, wow, would that be a heck of a development. But we'll see what happens with that. And then another big news, by the way, yet another player at a small Portuguese club is going to be leaving Portimonense, Lucas Pogacarsignolo. Again, I know I'm probably not saying that right. Looks like he's going to go and play for a club in China based on the most recent reports. He was red carded, so he didn't play against Porto. But he's another player that's taking an opportunity, a richer opportunity abroad. And I don't get upset. Like I've said before, I don't get upset at these players that play for the smaller clubs and go for these richer opportunities, because you can only play and make money for 7-8 good years as a player at a very good first division club. He's obviously not going to get an opportunity at a big three. So the next best option is to go to China, where, quite frankly, he's going to make a lot of money. And he's got a family like we all do. And, you know, everybody wants to make money and put their family in a better position. So you can't begrudge anybody doing that. Let me wrap up this episode again. Thank you for listening. Again, what is this episode, people ask? Reviewing the past week, previewing the upcoming week, giving you what I think is, maybe you don't all agree, some objective talk about some of the controversies in Portugal. And again, a lot of things we got to fix in Portugal. Nobody cares what I say, but there's no way that you should be doing suspensions for things that are 2 months or more older, but whatever. But ended here with, of course, my favorite club in Portugal, in case you did not hear. And that is, of course, Atlético dos Arcos. They did not play last weekend, by the way, because of Easter. I got that wrong. I thought they were playing on a Saturday, but they did not. But Atlético dos Arcos, first place in their district's division, the promotion division in Viana do Castelo. And they're leading the way with 34 points. Monção, three points behind them with 31. Third place, Valencianos, only got 25. Atlético dos Arcos this weekend will be playing Cerveira, which has only got 13 points, so they don't have to worry about them threatening them in the standings. But it's all about getting the 3 points. Two goals for Atlético dos Arcos. One, finished top two to go to the Portuguese Cup, Taça de Portugal, in September. And two, you win, you go up one, what I call the fourth division. And that would be a lot of fun. Atlético dos Arcos, by the way, 3-4 years ago, did get out of the districts and did go to, I think at the time they called it the third division. But that year, I think it was the bottom 5 or 6 clubs, because they were revamping all the divisions, got sent down. Whereas in a regular year, well, let's say only 2 or 3 get sent down, they would have still stayed in the third division. And they had to go down. They had, I think, like Mike Boavista this year, they had something like 15 or 16 draws. And they went down, and now they're in a position to maybe get back to what I guess is called the fourth division. And again, they're not broadcasting their games, which is why I want to make them to the third division, because maybe I'll be able to see them sometime on Canal 11. And I know Canal 11 sometimes shows some of the games as well on YouTube. By the way, if you get a chance, go to Canal 11's YouTube. They show a lot of times a lot of third division matches, you know, on their YouTube channel, and you can watch it anytime during the week. Anyway, folks, that's going to wrap up episode 115. 4 matches left to go in the Liga. Will Porto celebrate on Monday night? I don't think so. I think it's going to probably be another week. A lot of interesting races going with down at the bottom with relegation. We now know who's going to be in the Taça de Portugal. Cinderella, Tondela against Porto, who was looking to basically win the cup, basically win the Taça de Portugal in the Liga, and obviously also end Sporting's 4 straight domestic trophies that they have won. But now we know who's going to be playing in the Taça de Portugal. And then pretty soon, the season's going to be done. Then we'll have the Taça de Portugal final. Then there's going to be a break. And then the national team gets back. Remember, 4 matches, UEFA Nations League matches, coming up in the month of June with Spain, Spain and Czech Republic. Those are some of the teams that they'll be playing in the month of June. And then we'll have July, where we're all going to be watching teams do preseason, game of presentations, and then we get going with everything. And what will be a very different year next year, with the fact that the World Cup is taking place in November. And yes, we're going to be in it, so be glad. Anyway, everybody, thank you for listening. By the way, great job in Portugal. I read today that they are only the mask mandate is out, except if you're in a hospital or in public transport. It's kind of pretty much what I have in my life right now. So that part of the world, you know, at least is getting better and better. But that was the big news out of Portugal in terms of non-football news. And as you guys know, if you listen to this podcast, I'm not just somebody that pays attention to Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer. I could have a conversation with you about politics. I could have a conversation with you about economics. I can do it all. So very proud Portuguese American here. Anyway, folks, I'll talk to you next week. Ciao.